Welcome, bienvenue, to the Fantasy Tools Podcast. This is a show where fantasy tools discuss fantasy tools. I'm your host, Eric Rentz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Peterson. Our mission is to discuss fantasy baseball and the tools that we're developing that help us manage our teams. Cue that intro music.
So thanks for not putting the most impactful MLB injury on here to be mean to me.
Oh, which one are you talking about?
Well, I'm thinking Devin Williams. Devin Williams is the one that's led to the most sort of
fantasy grumbling. It's like right after the podcast.
It was. Well, yeah. But the news is still ongoing, right? Because it'd be nice to know who the closer is going to be or who's going to close in Milwaukee.
Every year there's one situation where a prime closer goes down and it's someone's coming up and it's just who.
Yep.
And that could be the best closer in baseball this year.
Absolutely, because it's...
Oh, not bad. Sorry, best fantasy value closer.
Yeah. I mean, because of all the things we've talked about before, you know, the Brewers took all the boxes. Like, oh, middling team, like in a weak division, like everything here.
Pretty good defense.
Yeah.
Pretty good starting pitching.
Everything's looking right for them to just be in a bunch of close games, and whoever closes is just racking up saves.
Yeah. 40, they could get 40 out of 50 saves and have a 3.8 ERA.
Yeah, right? For fantasy, who cares? Great.
Yeah,
give me the saves.
Great. So I think that's. Are you getting K's while you're doing that in 60 innings? 60 yeah. K's, 60 innings. You're fine.
So I think that's the injury of note, fantasy wise.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of guys with a Swiss flag next to their name, and
is there anybody new?
I'm not. Garrett Cole is not going to be starting this year.
I think several top flight starting pitchers appear to be taking a little extra spring training.
Taking it nice and slow. Yeah, I put this together because I gave Michael a couple of bullet points, and it's just like, wow, right now the news is injuries, late signings and trades, prospects, and then there's sort of like other, you know, like just. Well, I don't even know what to think about the other category, but there's like every once in a while there's a story like this person looks good in camp. Like who gives a shit? Like, great. You hit three home runs off of the Joey Votto story.
Oh yeah.
First at bat, home run.
Well, I would love to know. I mean, so our home league runs through CBS, and CBS's player updates are the most random ones. Like, I don't know if you've ever looked at just like, why are you giving me an update on this guy? Like, I don't care. Like,
there's no sorting.
How did you pick this guy? Like,
it's not alphabetical. Yeah. It's not based on the value of the player. But it's like you get, and especially because we have the minors players, it'll be like, I get all the Max Mayer news.
Oh, yeah.
Which you as a Minnesotan must also want to hear. But, yeah, it doesn't matter. Just you get it. Just gets force-fed to you.
Yep. But we should actually talk about this Dylan Cease trade, and that's like,
oh, we didn't talk about Marte either, like Nolan Marte and his suspension.
Well, you can tell when a prospect list was written, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did you file this already?
Yeah. It was very notable. That was very notable.
Yeah.
Wait, but trade Dylan Cease.
Cease to the Padres. This is great. If you drafted him, you've got to be thrilled. If you are drafting, I think Cease is going to be a good option.
Put him up a couple ticks. Yeah. Put around him. Put him up around.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I have a couple board bets where I had Cease on the over or
They're looking good now.
So I'm feeling good. All right. Part of the reason that we are going back to the bullets that I gave you, prospects.
Yeah.
Let's talk about prospects today, man.
Oh,
I'm excited. In that because we'll talk about prospects a lot. Fantasy. This is all I got for you. I was looking around, and this has come up in a couple of different places that Disney, as a public company, talked to the shareholders about, you know, where are they making money? And holy moly, a lot of it is Star Wars and Marvel.
But the thing is that knew this, right? I mean, even at the time, so looking at the background, these are great stories, by the way, good finds. So 2009 and 2012, they paid $4 billion for Marvel in 2009, $4 billion for Lucasfilm, the entirety of Lucasfilm in 2012. And those were like, seemed like eye-watering numbers at the time. Not a problem.
they seem like really big numbers, but also you're like, that's $4 billion. They have to just net $1 billion, like $1.33 billion on each one of the three new movies that they said that they're gonna put out here. That's all that they have to do, and they're back to even, right? Yep. And that's not even factoring in the toys, the theme parks, the TV shows that they said that they were gonna do. So I mean, this is the tale of it. They were just talking about the box office, which they got. I think didn't they do like $2 billion on Force Awakens?
There's some insane amount. I mean, this is like, yeah, I don't know. If I could go back to 2012 and just shut down every piece that was like, this is so much money, to be like, yeah, they're going to make it back.
Oh, we knew it at the time. I mean, I think we said even on this podcast, we said on this podcast as soon as that movie came out. I'm like, oh, look at that. 2012, wow. Long time ago.
Different era. I mean, pre-Force Awakens. The world was still our oyster in the Star Wars universe.
Even post-Force Awakens, it was like, hey, that was Deese.
That's true.
That was Deese. I saw it after that one, and it's like, I'm sort of a little bit of a, you know, undecided about what I think about this until the next ones come out, but Force Awakens doesn't look as good after you remember the...
And
I still have not watched episode 9 ever again.
Why would you? I
don't know.
I don't know that I ever.
It's crazy to. Looking through the new other news. Like Rogue Squadron might be coming.
Yeah, which
might be
good.
Yeah, interesting. I think that's a if we can get away from the Jedi superhero thing, I think it's always good. And unfortunately, The Mandalorian has sort of become a superhero too.
Yeah.
Like we can get away from that as much as possible. I think that we're good in the Star Wars world. All right. I think let's get into the main section here. Prospects. They're the future. I proposed to you that I present to you some over-unders on prospects. And unfortunately, lovely. I'm going to go and do something very basic here. But as I was getting prepared for this, couple table setting questions. What's the best list that you find or use and like?
I think the best list is all of the lists aggregated. No, I mean, like it sounds like a joke, but I really mean it. The best list is don't follow one list.
Yeah. It's always good to go a bunch of different places. The three that I look at the most, there's always an MLB prospect list.
Always. Yeah.
There is always a Fangraphs. Sometimes it's a little bit different, but there's a Fangraphs list.
Yep.
And then Prospects Live,
yeah,
which is our old buddy Smata is key to. I like to go there.
See, this one I haven't used before. I like that. I think that this year The Athletic put one out, which I really liked. Like they had some good rankings there. I think Fantasy Pros had a little bit as well. They had some.
I mean, yeah, Fantasy Pros had one that I had a hard time parsing.
Yeah, so did I. But prospects are hard. It's just you just have to do the legwork. You just got
to
get out.
You have to do the legwork. You have to. These are the guys that you actually want to watch. And unfortunately, you can't like Statcast random video on.
Nope.
Jackson Merrill. You gotta.
Grainy YouTube.
Yeah, grainy YouTube. Always fun. All right, so I've given you here the first. We're gonna focus on Prospects Live here in a way because I just the one that I liked, and I like the way this worked out.
Yeah,
I've got the top 15 prospects for you.
Okay,
let me know if there's anyone that you want to sub in or sub out here. We could, but I'll say more on this. Top 15 according to them: Jackson Holliday,
yep,
Wyatt Langford, Jackson Churio, Junior Caminero, Evan Carter, Dylan Cruz, Samuel Basalo, Walker Jenkins, Paul Skeens, James Wood, Andrew Painter, Ethan Salas, Jackson Jobe, Jackson Merrill, Jordan Lawler.
Yeah, first of all, the era of Jackson has begun, right? The era of people named Jackson.
It is insane, Jackson.
I think, yeah, you stopped, you rightly stopped at Walker Jenkins because I'm just furious that I don't own him. Like,
how do you not?
Because he went immediately in our draft.
Yeah.
So I think, right. And I think to add one more piece of framing for this, these guys are critical for TGFBI because none of them are, well, very few of them are going to start in the MLB this year. I think a handful. I think Evan Carter will, maybe Dylan Cruz. But these guys are ones that if they come up in TGFBI, they're going to command huge dollars.
It's going to be a lot of FAB.
Unless you can figure out a week before, they're going to get called up.
Yeah. I mean, some of these are already owned.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Some of these are already owned. Yeah. So I guess before we get into this, do you have, outside of Walker Jenkins and our Twins bias, is there a guy here that you really like?
Well, I think in our home
relative league, to the hype of the player.
Oh, relative to the hype. Relative to the hype is a good one, because the hype for all of these guys is enormous, right?
Yeah. Yeah, in different circles. But there's a difference between the Wyatt Langford, Dylan Cruz, the hype is like out of this world. Yeah. And it's like people in the public who follow baseball are like, I know these names, versus I think
Ethan Salas,
right?
Yeah.
Ethan Salas, where it's like you have to go a little bit inside baseball to have like an idea of who he is, or like Jackson Merrill, you have to be a Padres fan to be like, oh, he's on the cusp. They sent him to Korea. What's going on?
I think, yeah, I mean, some of these, and I, one of the challenges I always find with prospect lists is, and you listed this, which is fantasy impact is totally different than best prospect.
Yeah.
Right? Because one of the things about prospects is that people are often looking at their defense. We only care about their defense insofar as it gets them into the MLB.
Can they get on the field? Yeah. Are you not so much of a liability that you can get on the field? Which was why I like Christian Encarnacion Strand. Yeah. It was like, hey, if everybody is complaining about his fielding, everybody loves his hitting. So is his glove just good enough to be able to get him like a seat at the table?
So really not a lot of pitchers on this list.
No. Well, did you have a favorite of this group?
So, well, I was going to try and pick a pitcher and a hitter. I mean, I love Jackson Merrill, but Jackson Merrill is a guy that I own. He's a guy that was not highly ranked last year necessarily and has really shot up the rankings this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm honestly a little bit surprised that he's made it into somebody's top 15. I thought maybe mid-season he would make it into the top 15 or so. But he's had just a killer spring training, as you know. So I think he's a guy that if you had bought him a little bit earlier, you would have gotten him for real cheap. And now he's sort of living into
that. Now you're going to have to overpay to get him.
Yeah, because all these other guys were expensive already, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, I think one thing that this always brings up is you see, it's like there's three kinds of prospects, really. You see shortstop, catcher, and starting pitcher.
Yeah.
That you see those three prospects are always at the top of the list. And what will happen over time is that the shortstop will go anywhere else on the field. A top shortstop prospect can play anywhere on the field, right?
Yep.
And that's what's happening with Jackson Merrill. It's like, oh, he's 6'3 and built like like a quarterback. Like, let's put him into the outfield. Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Now it opens up a place for him to play, and there you go. And that's what's great about a shortstop is you can move him over to third if he's still a really good infielder. You can move him to second if he's a good infielder, or you can move him out into the outfield, and you can put anywhere in the outfield. And then catcher, it's like you move him catcher, first base.
Yes.
Or sometimes you move him into, you know, if he's a real power hitter, it's like, well, he's a utility, but he's.
But you're getting him for their. I mean, catchers, you really do have to put in a different box because you're getting them for some of their baseball acumen, right? Because
you're getting them
for, like, they have a different, like, can their glove keep them on the field? It's more like, can their baseball brain keep them on the field? Or.
Yeah. Are they good enough to actually catch? Are they good enough to be at first base? Do they have enough of the, like, do they have enough of the cachet with the team to stay there? But yeah, and they're the guys that you're like, okay, that guy is gonna hit and who knows how many days a week he's gonna be able to play.
So I,
and even if he gets to like the Kyle Schwarber, like Kyle Schwarber is still in my mind. Carlos Santana is still in my mind, is like these guys who are the Uber catcher prospects.
I don't like taking catchers at all.
I don't either.
As prospects. It's not.
I don't either.
It. I think the hit rate is too low for the return. I totally agree with you. And I tend to not do pitchers either. It's like shortstops. Like, load me up on shortstops.
Yeah, yeah. Because they could be, they could end up anywhere.
Do I have all shortstops?
No, I agree. I don't like the catchers either. Yeah, because you do, very rarely do you have like a Buster Posey who it's like, he's a catcher prospect. Yeah. And he's going to end up being a catcher, full stop. And he's going to have a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah. No, that's...
Like, Oddly, is the closest person that we've come to that. And I would guess that he's more likely to be in the Joe Mauer kind of direction.
A Hall of Famer. The first Buster ballot. Posey. Are they making any noise about moving him out of catching?
No, but I mean, this Samuel Basalo, like...
Yeah.
What's going to happen there?
Yeah.
No, okay. Oddly looks too good at behind the plate, but he's just one injury away from them being like, oh, no, we got to move him to first.
Yeah. So who's your guy on this list? Bizarre?
No. I actually do have a hitter and a catcher. James Wood.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, when you see him,
when
you see him hit, you're like, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy has 40 homer written all over him.
Is he opening in the majors?
I'm not sure. I don't actually. I'm not going to say the wrong thing right now. I don't really know. I mean, that team, so much space.
Yeah,
that team could be the. I think next year. I think they could be the 2025. They could be the Reds of 2020 because they have so many prospects. Jackson Jobe is the other one.
Yeah,
there's nothing like watching a 20-year-old who is. I think that he hasn't had his major injury, career injury. He just, the ball just does things that you can only see in a 20-year-old. Like, like, if you've seen clips of him also and, like, high school clips and stuff, it's like, this guy, impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you over-unders for each of these players. Okay. And you're going to give me, and I'm going to give you at-bats or innings pitched. You're going to give me the number. Jackson Holliday, 399 at-bats is the projection that I got from Fantasy Pros, over-under.
Over.
So I guess I'm just taking the opposite on each one of these?
I feel kind of bad, but yeah, I think you are.
Okay. Wyatt Langford, 476.
I got to go under there.
Okay.
That's really...
That's a high number.
That's a big number. Yeah.
Jackson Chourio is 481.
481. Under?
If he hit eighth all year, he'd still be over, right? If he got to 140
That's close. Games. That's close. I mean, I think that's basically like the break-even point there.
It remember, at-bats, not plate appearances. So
it's even lower than that, actually.
Yeah. Junior Caminero, 275 at-bats.
275?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, the Rays are like one of the most annoying...
Yes.
Clubs to know what they're going to do with a guy. But I think over.
I think, Evan Carter, 496 at bats.
I think they've paved a path for him, which I think they've really cleared a way for him. I mean, they're not even pretending that he's not going to start the season in the majors.
They want him to be the number three hitter.
Yeah. So I think I'm talking myself into that number's high, but I think he meets it.
Isn't that. Evan Carter is on the Texas Rangers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how just won a World Series.
I know. It's like,
and they're like, okay, well, actually, here's a potential generational talent that we're just going to add to the team. How is that fair?
I really don't understand that.
I hope they screw it up. Dylan Cruz, 163 at bats.
Really? He let's see. He finished last year in Double A. So, how do they not skip him ahead? I think that's an over. I think it's an over.
Over. Mm-hmm. I think they try. Well, because what I just said, which was that Washington Nationals are in line. Dylan Cruz is a National, right?
Yeah.
In line for a 2025 breakout year, not a 2024 breakout year. If they can
yeah,
game his eligibility,
right?
They will, right? And that's why that 163 is the number of outcomes where he gets less than 100 at bats.
163 is low, though. That's low. I mean, you can get that in a, you could get that in a hard month of baseball.
Yeah, Skeens, Paul Skeens,
60.6
innings pitched.
I mean, they do they who are their pitchers in Pittsburgh? I mean, like they could be.
We were in Pittsburgh last summer, right? And we had already were like the top of their division, and they had already like lost every single one of their starting pitchers.
Yeah,
and then Rich Hill, right? Rich Hill was getting innings pitched, so I know out of just necessity, it feels like they're just gonna put Paul Skeens.
I mean, he does have to move up. He did get drafted last year, so he really hasn't worked his way through the minors yet. So he'd have to pitch lights out, and he's got to get. That's 10 major league starts for him. Does he make that? I think he doesn't quite make 10. I think he makes 8 or something over the course of the year. So I'm actually going to go under on that.
You're going to go under. James Wood, 109 at bats.
109? Really?
This goes to that like 100 line. They want to stay under 100.
So he's also in double A. I think he skips. I think he also skips up. I mean, I hear what you're saying about. I guess, okay, the outcomes are really correlated here, right?
Mm-hmm.
For James Wood and who are we just talking about?
Dylan Cruz,
for the two of them. Those outcomes are really correlated because you're absolutely right. They're targeting 2025 for a breakout. Mm-hmm. And if they bring these two up, then they're going for it. So, but 100 is just so low. Anybody can get 100. Like, I have to go over.
Okay. Jackson Jobe.
Yeah, you got to be more specific on the Jackson.
I know. 19.8 innings pitched.
19.8?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really have nobody in Detroit. Like, they got Tarik Skubal.
Kenta Maeda. Iron Man. Kenta Maeda is going to get 180 innings this year.
19.8. No, he gets more than 4 starts.
I think he did. I don't think that he starts. I think that's what that's saying, is that they don't think that he's going to start. They're going to bring him out of the bullpen. And then they're going to stretch him out at whatever point that they decide that he's going to be.
That is interesting. I mean, that must be what the beat is going for, as opposed to like, well, we'll just bring him up for a few starts. I would just bring him up for a few starts. I mean, I think that's sort of a more traditional path. But so I'm still going to go over because I think they're going to change their tune at some point. He'll come up for starts.
He's totally the kind of guy where it's going to be like, all right, we don't have anyone. There's a doubleheader. Let's bring him up for one game, and then he's going to be like 7 1/3, 10 Ks, no earned runs. And they're going to be like, we have to let him start again.
yeah, exactly.
And all you need is, you only need 4 of those, and then you're blowing through the innings pitched.
Yeah.
And Detroit is so starved.
You need something.
In a different way that the Nationals, like the Nationals, like who really cares about the Nationals?
Yeah.
They won a World Series recently enough that fan base and that fan base cares so little, whatever. Yeah. But Detroit is starved for anything, and that fan base is, well, not Northeastern kind of rabid, like anything, and they'll be excited. And they need to get people in that ballpark.
That is very true. If we learned one thing from taking another trip,
so you're taking the over on Jackson.
Yeah, I'm taking the over there. Come on.
All right, last Jackson Merrill.
368. Is that a Juan Soto size hole? I mean, like what like
that's not quite a one so one. Wait, how many at-bats did he get last year? That might actually be pretty close.
I don't think he gets there. I understand he traveled to Korea. It's like a big deal right now. Well, I don't know, because I don't understand what the Padres are doing. I don't know if they're in win now mode. I mean, they traded for Cease. My gut is saying under, but I feel like the outcomes are super broad here. Could easily be over.
I'm excited for the over.
That great. Go for it. I'll take the under.
The exact reason why I tried to take him from you is because I think that he's just gonna have 500 plate appearances this year, be in the outfield, get like 140 games or something like that, and be decent to good, and then have a really terrible year next year because of sophomore slump.
Yeah, probably. That's why I'm trying to hold him through the sophomore slump. And then
that's what would be my suggestion. Yeah.
Then bring him up. Yeah.
All right, that did it.
This is good. I mean, these are all, everyone that you mentioned in the top 15 is a guy that you should have on your TGFBI like watch list. And yeah, the minute news pops up that they might even be coming up, you should try throwing a couple bucks at them, because once they're in the MLB, it's going to cost you 200 at a minimum, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think Jackson Merrill, he was drafted in some leagues.
Jackson, well, Evan Carter.
I should have that data available if I had been more prepared.
I should, yeah. Who knows? Well, it's a good thing to look at some point.
I think that about brings us to the review session. Camilo Duvall.
Camilo Duvall, he was good last year.
He was. He was definitely good.
Well, let me tell you what good means. All right.
Give me stats.
Good means 6 wins, 6 losses. Okay, don't ignore that part. A 293 average, a 114 whip, 87 strikeouts in 67 innings, and 39 saves.
Yeah.
That is good because you drafted him ridiculously late last year.
I remember him sitting there in all the leagues where I drafted, is sitting there like a round or two after his value would have suggested, but that was because you didn't know. You didn't know, is he going to repeat what he did in the 2022 season, or is he going to...
These 2022 and 2023 numbers, they almost look like typos, right? It's like he got the exact same number of innings pitched. He did a few more saves. He got very similar whip, very similar ERA, and then just a ton more saves.
You want to guess his xERA? So his ERA was 2.53. Actually, we usually like the FIP.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with xERA for right now. His xERA was 2.90 in 2022. Do you want to know what it was in 2023?
I'm terrified. 3.4?
2.91.
Oh!
So this is it. His fielding independent pitching was 277. His expected FIP was 336. I actually usually think that the FIP is a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, you look at his
So he's right there. He's just slightly under a 3 ERA pitcher.
Yep.
Savant
Page has a lot of red.
Yeah.
What do you like?
I like that he's a right-handed pitcher in what are we calling that park right now?
I have no idea.
San Francisco.
I could not tell you.
Yeah. I like that he's a right-handed pitcher in San Francisco who's a reliever. That's good. Automatically, if he is the closer and none of the Rogers brothers, however many you want to throw at that situation, are going to be able to take the job forever. T. Rogers.
So he's got an interesting mix of pitches. He throws 3 pitches, like basically a third. Mm-hmm. Slider at 89 miles an hour, cutter at 100, and a fastball at 98.
How does he throw a cutter at 100 miles an hour?
I don't know, but that's why he's successful.
Apparently.
His whip percentile is off the charts.
It is. People just didn't touch that. I mean, there again, he's in the right stadium to do that.
Yeah.
Because even if someone does connect, they still might not get it out of the ballpark.
Well, I mean, he only 3 home runs last year in 67 innings. That's wow. Wow. That's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is he not discussed with the elite? I mean, we're giving him, this is what, number 5?
Yeah. I think people still don't believe it.
I don't. I didn't even ask that, but I just don't really totally believe it.
I think I look at the data and I agree. Before I didn't believe it. What am I supposed to believe now? Like, why? I think, am I just going on gut now that says don't believe it? Like, I look at these numbers and it's like, okay, great. I want that.
I know. You look at his age, he's 26 years old. He throws right-handed, which is good for a closer. I mean, one thing is it says he's 185, but I think that I think he's probably closer to 200.
Come on. I mean, Kenley Jansen has been successful for years.
Yeah, but he's not 185. No, I'm saying that I would want him to be a little bit heavier at 6'2", 185.
Oh, you're saying too light.
He's that would be more of a concern that he'd be too light. Chris Sale-esque, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want that. Willow. Yeah, this is guy who's good. And if you grabbed him, I probably had the right value.
I think,
if we had done these reviews before, we would have ended up with a lot more shares of Camilo Duvall.
That's absolutely true. absolutely true. I mean, I think it just, I guess to me, closers just take time to fully enter the trusted regime.
Mm-hmm. And they also have to have, they hasn't had this like random terrible year.
No.
That is one of the things that we all have of like, has this closer been able to get through the yips of 1 year bad? Like Hader is on the other side of that, right?
Yeah.
He had the one bad year.
Yeah.
Kenley is. And then you have the ones that have been like, they had a bad year, so many bad years. Duvall has not gotten burned yet. We haven't had one of those burned years yet. So there's always a chance that this could just be the random year where he's like gets the yips and can't throw over home plate.
And they do have both Rodgers, right? Or did they reunite somewhere else?
No, I think they have both Rodgerses.
So the thing is that like even though he is an elite closer, they do have guys that nominally could do that role.
Anything that we want to say to finish up the Camilo Duvall?
Well, I think we should. People were obviously thrilled that he got 39 saves last year. And I think that's the number that would catapult him into the like must discuss all the time in elite closers. I think if he does these same numbers but he gets under 30 saves, people aren't as excited. So to me,
no.
It's a question of like, does he, and this is going to be a question that's loaded with all sorts of stuff, but does he get more than 30 saves this year?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think no. I think there's a regression coming.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Team?
I mean, everything, right? Matt Chapman cannot put this team on his back.
True. But they didn't have Matt Chapman last year, and they did fine. They were a 100-win team 2 years ago.
They're a surprising team. They were a surprising team last year. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, so I'm taking the over on 30. Well, you said, can he get to 30 saves?
Yeah.
So I got the over on 29.5.
Oh, sure, fine.
Yeah, there we go. He's not going to get 39. I doubt that.
No, that number's crazy.
Yeah. Who are we doing next week?
Rossell Iglesias.
Time for a little housekeeping. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Tools, Mind the Z. Thank you, Mild Manor, for letting us use your tunes. Be sure to follow them on SoundCloud and Facebook. Feel free to email us with questions or comments. Send us messages at fantasy.tools@gmail.com. Again, Mind the Z. All I've got left is, worst of luck to you, buddy.
Worst of luck to you, too. Yay!